We've been looking at the statement that Jesus made, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And on the first occasion we looked at I am the way, we thought about the concept of being in a ship, trying to get into a harbour where there are shifting sandbanks. And we decided that in order to get into this harbour, having a map or a chart was probably not enough. That the best way of being safely guided into this harbour was to have a pilot. That's right. So when Jesus talked about being the way, he was really saying, I am the one who, in the shifting sands of history and the shifting sands of human culture, I am the one who is your pilot into heaven, into eternal life. So Jesus is the way. It's not about which way should I go, but who should I go with. So that was the first one that we thought about. And in the midst of that, we were saying, people do not believe that they are lost. And people don't think they need a pilot or a way or a help until they realise that they're lost. And that's really important for us in this day and age, because people believe that they are not lost. And in some senses, we need to be saying to people that they are. But of course, that's difficult, because as soon as you say to somebody, you are lost, who are you to say something like that to me? It's a very difficult journey to helping people see that they need something more than what they already have. So Jesus, the way, is not an easy thing to get across to people. We went on then to talk about Jesus as the truth. You see, it's okay to be a way, but a way to the Father. But he's got to be reliable, he's got to be faithful and true. And of course, in the context of that, the next day, after Jesus said these words, he said, I will rise again, because I'm going to be killed tomorrow, but in 4 days I will rise again. Now, if you need evidence to support somebody being true, that's a pretty big claim, isn't it? If I was to say, I'm going to get killed tomorrow, and in 4 days' time I'll be back alive again, you would probably wonder whether this is likely. And the disciples were in that position. Thomas was saying, how do you know what's going on? But Jesus was quite clear. He said, you're going to see the evidence that I am truth, and I'm so in touch with my Father, who has a perspective on absolutely everything, next slide please, that although you see things very differently in terms of depending on which perspective you, where you are in your life and in history and so on, are looking at it, my Father in heaven has the total perspective. He sees every angle. And because he has filled with his Spirit, I see every angle. And therefore I can say I am the truth, because the Father has placed his Spirit in me. Remember how Jesus said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to do all those things which Isaiah prophesied. So the truth is there. This strange shaped object. But from each perspective it looks different. And each of us only has one perspective. God has the total perspective. And Jesus was so in touch with his Father that he had the total perspective. He is the truth. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. So today, we're looking at Jesus saying, I am the life. And as we think about Jesus saying, I'm the life, we want that to be life, don't we? Are you alive today? And would you like to stay alive today? So would you like there to be life flowing in the community, life flowing in the nation and in the world? Yes? So we want there to be an expansion of life, a growth of life. And we have to reach people where they are and share with them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What does Jesus actually mean by saying, "I am the life"? Because there's lots of possibilities with that phrase, isn't there? Jesus saying, "I am the life." Life. What is it? Well, a few days before Jesus had said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he'd given the disciples quite a lesson in who he actually was. Because when Lazarus died, one of his close friends and associates, and Mary and Martha's brother, Jesus was up country and wasn't there. And as you know, Jesus was called to come to Bethany, to the house, and then he has a chat with the girls and says, "Okay, Lazarus is dead, but don't worry, he'll be okay." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." And again, you could think, well, where's the evidence? Poor disciples, okay, they'd seen the young girl being raised from the dead, they'd seen miracles and so on, but this guy had been buried in 3 days in the tomb. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he gets them to open the tomb and he calls Lazarus out. He speaks to Lazarus, "Come out." And Lazarus does come out, all bound up in his grave clothes. That is evidence that Jesus is what he says he is. He is the resurrection and the life. And immediately that puts life into a much bigger context than possibly we normally think of it, because it puts it into something that goes beyond death, something that is eternal, something that is much bigger than just the life that we live in this world, that we want to see thrive and grow and develop and so on. We want to see eternal life grow and thrive and develop in this world and the next. So eternal life, that puts a whole new perspective. And of course what Thomas was asking Jesus when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," was not about this life, because Jesus had said, "I'm going to the Father and you know the way to get there." And Thomas says, "But we don't know what the way to get there. This is, you're talking about going somewhere. We don't know where it is. We don't know what." And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, the Heavenly Father, the eternal, living, Heavenly Father, creator of all things, sustainer of all things, except through me." He was talking about eternal life, which is not something different from what you and I have for this life. It's part of it. More of that in a little while. So, the question is, what do we think life is? Let's have a few suggestions. What do you think life is? A gift. A gift. That's brilliant. I love that. Life is a gift. Any other things?
Christmas.
It's existence. Yes, that's right. There's something real about our existence. Anything else? Life is
experience.
Yeah, a gift. Experience, existence.
The opposite of death.
That's right. More of that in a minute as well. Well, let's have a think about what we know about life as a science, scientific thing. a distinctive characteristic of a living organism from a dead organism or non-living thing. And this is just one of over 100 different possible definitions of life that the BBC have come up with, or have trawled from various places. The capacity to grow, we talked about growth. Metabolize, take in something that's fuel and turn it into something that is something else. Respond, in other words, to have senses and to respond to those stimuli. Adapt, in other words, when it gets cold, we put on our coat, and when it gets wet, we put up our umbrellas. We adapt, and we reproduce. And that's a fair, lots of other. Has science got the full, total answer of what life is? Let's have a little vote. Who thinks that science has the answer to everything that life is? Anybody going to vote for that? Okay, let's have a vote for those who think that science has not got the whole answer. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, either we are a filtered congregation that we are bound to say that, or actually we're reflecting something that actually people that out there in the world, they actually don't think that science has got all the answers. And we have, or at least we have access to the one who does, because we have access to the one who says, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Wow, that is something to be celebrated, isn't it? Let's move on. There is no consensus regarding the answer to the question as to when does life begin, or when did life begin. The origin of life is also contestable. How did life begin? Where did life begin? What first began life? And why am I even asking that question? What does it mean to ask that question? All of this comes about because God wants us to be in fellowship with Him, who is the way, the life, and the truth, and wants us to share that with everyone around us, because we have access to the Father, who is the truth, the life, the way. We have access to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We have access to the Spirit, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this is a small video which is entitled What is Life? And it's a very interesting take. Now please stick with it, because this is the questions that many young people today are asking and thinking about. In it, you're going to see Richard Dawkins say something which is really quite significant. You're going to see some very high-flying academics, but in it is a very interesting statement, and you'll see it in a moment.
What is life? As I get older, I find that question to be confusing and more troubling. Then, particularly when you see the advancement of something like video games, you know, I say 40 years ago, the most advanced video game would be like Pong, where you have like two rectangles and a dot. But now you can see a video game that's photorealistic, and millions of people playing simultaneously.
Saying to Ezekiel is, you've got dead stuff, God, by His Spirit, can make it come to life. When I was called into mission work, I met a guy who worked on the team for a couple of years, and he had been called. He was on a tube train, and he was going up to, he was a barrister, and he was going up to the law courts on the tube, and he looked at the people in the rush hour, and God gave him a vision, and he saw them all as dead. God just suddenly opened his eyes to the fact that they were all dead. He knew that they weren't biologically living, but he said, I was just totally overwhelmed by the fact that these people are lost. They have no truth and they have no life. They needed to be in contact with the one who could give them life, show them the truth, who could be the way to live. And so he gave up his law career and went into evangelism, into ministry, because he'd seen that the life of God is so much more important than the biological life that we have here today. The life of God is biological plus so much more. And when Ezekiel sees this, he prophesies, he speaks the word of God to the bones. And they come together and form into skeletons, and then with muscles, and then with skin and blood. And God says, they're still not alive, because until you prophesy to the breath, until you ask the Spirit to enter them, they will not be actually alive. And that's something that people around us need to know. It's when the Spirit breathes into us that we move from death to life. That's what the scripture says. When the Spirit enters into us, we move from death to life. And that comes about through a revelation that God gives through one another, through prophetic words. God speaks and there is life. Oh, that reminds us of Genesis, doesn't it? God spoke, and the Spirit of God was brooding over the chaos, over the waters. He spoke, and there was life. Jesus spoke, and Lazarus came back to life. Ezekiel spoke the word of God, and the bones and sinews and the flesh came to life as a great vast army. And it's all connected by God the Father as the source of everything, God the Son as the one who redeems and is the creative force, and God the Spirit who is present in all of it, doing His work. And it's the same Holy Spirit who dwells in you. We have the words of eternal life. Surely, God wants us to share those words with those around us. Next slide. The Holy Spirit, the breath of God, God's empowering presence, the promise of the Father. You have that. And God will speak through you to bring life into many situations. That's what He wants to do. Transforming people's lives, transforming communities, transforming even nations. Excellent. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and have it in all its fullness, abundantly. That's what Jesus came for. He sent His Spirit, saying, it's better I go away, because then you will receive the Spirit, and then you will have life in all its fullness. And then, almost directly afterwards, John records Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. So it's knowing Jesus that is the important thing, and being prepared to be filled with His Spirit. And I would love to read you some sections from this book. That's Clark Pinnock, who is a guy that I met him, and he's just a lovely guy. He wrote this book, Flame of Love, which you're welcome to read. In this, some inspirational words about what our purpose in being here and alive is all about. What God has placed in us to be transforming, creative, inspirational, blessing, healing, all that Jesus was. But for today, seeking and saving the lost. Finding that, those places where truth is needed. Talking to people and discussing things. Encourage you to have a look at that book. And I'm going to finish with, Jesus is the life. Jesus shares His life with us. And what is our goal and our aim and our mission statement? That to share the life of Jesus with the people around us. Because we have the Spirit.